some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough.
Hey guys, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. My name's Ray Dieter. Our fearless leader, Jimmy Carboni, is off this evening. And one of our regular guests, a home brewer and connoisseur of good beer, Manuela Toth, will be joining us. Hey, Manuela, how you doing?
I'm good, Ray. I'm happy to be here.
Ah, it's nice to see you across the aisle here at the Heritage Radio Network in front of Jimmy's microphone.
I know. I'm going to be Jimmy tonight. So
you sound just like him.
You think? So tonight, Beer Sessions Radio is brought to you by greatbrewers.com. which is a great source of beer information and education. So go on greatbrewers.com, test your beer knowledge, find great beer in your neighborhood, and check out the events calendar. Greatbrewer.com. Ray, have you ever been on the site?
Yeah, I have. It's the Union Beer Distributors site, and they do carry some of the best beers available in this market. Yeah. So I deal a lot with those guys, and they've got a great staff on the street, very knowledgeable. Set of guys, salespeople.
They actually have this test on the website that you can test your beer knowledge. It's either 20 questions or 100 questions. You should go on it and take it, see what you know.
I'm afraid. I don't think so.
All right. So if anyone has questions, if you're listening to us live, 5 o'clock every Tuesday, today is May 18th, call the studio, ask us questions, we'll answer them online. The number is 718-497-2128, or you can email us, beersessions@gmail.com, and we'll answer your questions on future shows. So Ray, do you want to introduce our guests?
Absolutely, yeah. Good friend of mine, Brian O'Reilly from the Sly Fox Brewing Company down in Pennsylvania, and Corey, what's your last name, Corey?
Corey Reed.
Corey Reed, the rep for the New York market, or the East Coast, or the whole country?
Pennsylvania and New York.
That's almost the whole country.
Damn close.
Sly Fox, I was turned on to Sly Fox a couple of years ago, and just crazy about their beers. These guys are making some great beers, and they're walking on the wild side, putting their beer in cans. And I've been to a bunch of breweries, and I went down about 4 years ago, we decided. And I got to see the canning situation at their brewery, and it was fascinating. I thought I'd seen every aspect of a brewing company, and to see the canning line was really, really a great experience. So how are you guys doing? Thanks for coming out.
We're doing great. Okay. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So talk to us about putting beer in a can. What's the secret?
Well, I mean, cans are an incredible package for beer. All the things that you'd think about, they're lighter, easier to ship, all the places they can go, they can't break like glass, but all those things are one side of the spectrum that people have been talking about for years. But I think because small craft brewers couldn't purchase small amounts of cans for a while, and because there were not small packaging lines for cans, they got a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
And glass became known as, you know, that's where good beer goes in glass and cheap beer goes in cans. But what's incredible about cans, they're actually better for the beer. One thing is they don't allow light in.
Right.
And even brown glass, which protects beer from the light the most, allows some light in. In some markets, like in Pennsylvania, you have to buy beer by the case. And so if you're closing a case, honestly, it doesn't matter. But here, if you're walking into a bodega and they've got UV lights or it's near the sun can get through, the beer can get a little bit skunked.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is the UV light releases a sulfur in the hops and makes it smell like a skunk.
Right.
So that's not too pleasant. So cans protect from the light 100%.
But now, mm-hmm. what I found fascinating is the actual liquid, the actual beer, never really actually touches metal.
Correct.
There's a seal inside.
Yep.
And what is that seal made from?
So it's a plastic polymer, and it's made from a bunch of different things.
And how green is this?
It's pretty green. Uh-huh. Actually, if beer touched the aluminum, it would eventually rust the aluminum.
Yeah.
And because it's too acidic, and your cans would start spraying beer a couple weeks on the shelf.
Right.
So the inside of the can's lined with this plastic polymer, and the top and the bottom of the lid are lined as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in the recycling process, it's just melted, and it's not a problem. The aluminum is 100% recyclable. So it's cans are much more greener than that. And one of the things that helps them achieve a higher level of recyclability is because they can be crushed down and moved to different recycling centers cheaper.
Oh, wow. Now, so, right now we're drinking some of your beer in a can.
So the other day I was at this Mexican restaurant in the Lower East Side. It's called La Barra. And, you know, they had the usual Mexican beers, Corona, Modelo. And then they had a can of Pikeland Pills, Life
awesome.
Fox, and it was awesome. I had three of them. It was great. So I saw you brought that. So tell us a little bit about your beers.
Well, right now we're drinking the Royal Weiss. So it's a Bavarian-style wheat beer. We use a special yeast that produces that kind of wheat beer. It's very traditional and classical. And we use about 50% malted wheat. The rest is malted barley. And it's not a very hoppy beer, but this particular yeast produces a clove and some banana notes, and I think it's kind of my passion to just get the right balance between those. And it was kind of inspired by the Schneider Brewery. It's one of my favorite wheat beer breweries, and we wanted to make a beer like Schneider Original, but not quite as dark, because I think our market's a little confused by an amber wheat beer. But it is darker and a little more full-bodied than many of the wheat beers that are on our market.
And it's unfiltered, obviously.
Yep. So it's unfiltered, and it's got a haze, and people were... a lot of people that embrace the cans are like, but you're not really going to do the wheat beer in a can. You can't have a wheat beer in a can. It's like, why not? Well, I just thought with the yeast in it, it's like, come on. So it's been a great spring summer seasonal for us.
No, it's delicious. It's full bodied. How strong is it? You're talking about Snyder, not Snyder Weiss strength, is it?
It's it's 13.8 Plato. So it ends up being around, what is that? Like almost, you know, 5.8, so it's not quite as strong, but it's up there.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's delicious. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
It's good. So I actually took a class with you, I think last year during Craft Beer Week.
Okay.
At the Astor Center. It was a hop class, and I know you were talking about the hop project that you do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. That's
so
fun.
Tell us about that.
Well, we're not doing it anymore.
Oh.
For the moment. We, for I think 7 years... Corey, was it seven? Six or seven?
Yeah, we did it at least 6 years, I would imagine.
So I think we did seven. So we did first 6 years, we brewed different varietal IPAs. So each beer was brewed with only one variety of hops.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the year, we brewed our double IPA, Odyssey, with all those hops. And last year, we did pale ales. And we're still brewing some varietal beers. But the commitment to ship them to specific taverns once a month. And we realized that we just needed to free up some time at the brewery, not to do less, but to do more. So we're not really doing the project anymore. But it was a lot of fun, and we got to expose ourselves to a lot of different hops. And we actually just had one today at Mugs. We had they had the Progress on, so it was a pale ale made with all Progress hops.
Oh, cool!
So
I found that really fascinating when we came out to the brewery. A couple of years
ago, yeah.
And it was amazing how different the beers taste. Just a fascinating thing. And you know what's funny? It's not all great. Sometimes it doesn't work that well. Sometimes it's a little too this or too much that, or not enough of this or not enough of that. But it's a great project.
Well, and people said to me, you know, this is my favorite, but I didn't care for this one. And I said, well, I appreciate that, but you sound like you don't really get it.
Right,
that's the point, is to leave everything the same and try to, as much as we could as brewers, give you an experience of those hops. And while some are very distinctive and some are a little more mellow, you get to experience them. We're not trying to create your favorite beer.
Right, exactly. It's a project.
So, yep. What are some of your favorite hops that you used?
Mm. Well, I have a couple of the really popular ones were Amarillo, some of the Centennial, some of the American hops are very bold and citrusy. But one that was I really loved, we did this last year, was Boadicea. It was a British hop, very rare, not really, they don't grow too much of it, but it was a lot like East Kent Goldings or Target, but had a minty kind of continental character to it, and kind of slowly trying to figure out if they're going to continue making that, because we'd love to and get it for some of our other beers, but don't want to get it in and then not be able to get it after that. The other one was Nelson Savon. And it's a New Zealand hop. And there was a tavern owner up in Reading. And I walked into his bar one day. He said, "I've been waiting for you to come in here." I said, "I haven't been around for a while. I'm sorry. I don't get up to Reading that frequently." And he went down to his basement and grabbed three Nelson Savon wines. And his wife, I didn't realize this, his wife's family has a winery over in that area.
Uh-huh.
And he had come back from New Zealand and come from the airport and on his way to Reading, which isn't really on the way, but he went to Phoenixville and had the Nelson Savon beer, and it blew his mind because it tasted so much like those wines. And he had been holding, I'm sure he had more of this wine that he brought back, but three bottles for me to taste, and we tasted them, and it blew my mind because the memory of that hop, and I knew the hop more than the wine, it was very distinctive. And that kind of makes sense because hops are affected by the soil and the climate a lot more like grapes.
Right.
And malt is also, but they really distinctively come through the beer. So that was one of the most distinctive ones, and the most mind-blowing and the most different, and then have the wine was pretty crazy.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Do you know any like good resources for hops, like good books that talk about different hops? Like, I don't know, I'm a home brewer and I've been experimenting with IPAs and I can't figure out the best flavor. So for our home brewers out there, even for our brewers, what do you think?
Well, I know that Hop Union, one of our hop suppliers, has a pretty good guide online, but their guide is, and we had this too, like they'll tell you what the hop was bred from, where it came from, but they don't, it's kind of hard when you get descriptive, and we'd be just trying to describe these pale ales. And the descriptions, it was really hard not to be the same description.
Right.
But the beer tasted very different, but you kind of described it the same because it's, you know, especially the American hops grown in the Pacific Northwest, most of them, not all, it's very piney, it's very citrusy, and we were really splitting hairs. So it's awfully hard to describe that difference.
Cool.
So
we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. So. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Beer Sessions is brought to you by GreatBrewers.com and supported by the Good Beer Seal. So Ray and I have been talking to Brian and Corey from Sly Fox, but I sort of want to get to one of our email questions. So last week, Scott wrote to us with a rather ambitious question. Scott writes, "In honor of the upcoming World Cup 2010, I'm looking for great suggestions for having a World Cup of beer based on this year's participants in the FIFA World Cup." He then goes on to list the participating nations. It's an extensive list, so I don't think we can answer for every nation on air, but we'll pick a few, and then we can post some more on our Facebook page. So luckily, we just had some guests walk in. They were a bit late, but they're here. So Joe and Jay from American Beer Distributing. It's also known as Thrifty Beverage. It's in Brooklyn. It's on Court Street, 256 Court Street. So hi, Jay. Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys.
Joe. Sorry.
Sorry that we're late, and glad that we were able to make it.
Yeah, glad you made it. So let's see if you guys can sort of get Scott started on his question.
Okay. The question again was, I'm sorry.
That would be for the World Cup. There's a bunch of countries that gather in certain places every 4 years and have this soccer playoff.
Yeah, I guess. Most of the bars, I think they tend to go with the Carlsberg is like a big...
I guess what Scott is looking for is it's like looking what we really do need is a list of the countries that are participating in the World Cup, and we can actually if we can get that this would actually be a fun thing to do.
That would be almost
like handicapping the the games.
But do you guys have some beers from countries that maybe aren't necessarily associated with beer that you guys sell at your store?
So we're like Argentina. You know they have a great football team, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not 100% sure. You have stumped me.
Well, that's okay. All right, Scott. We'll get back to you. We'll post it on Facebook.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. So
is an ambitious question.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know who's in the? We don't know who's in the World Cup there, right?
Yeah. The list here from.
Well, everybody else in the world knows who's in it, except for Americans.
Yeah. Hey guys, I got this list from Scott here. It is
okay. Hold on.
It is pretty extensive.
Really?
Maybe we should go by continent. I mean, he's got Africa, Asia, Europe, North Central America, South America, and Oceania.
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 I thought that was buried after a volcano.
He's listing New Zealand under that.
Okay, New Zealand. Okay. I'm always interested about beers from South America. I mean, what good beers are coming from South America? I know there are a few here and there. Anybody can jump in there.
Eisenbahn. Yeah, it's brought in by Shelton Brothers.
Okay.
Where was that from? That was wasn't Brazil. It was I don't think it was Brazil. It was either Argentina or we used to handle that stuff a couple.
Say
years
the name
ago.
Again.
Eisenbahn. Yeah, we had probably four or five items from maybe three or four items from them. We only had bottles, but I haven't seen it in 2 years.
Interesting that a beer from Argentina would have a German name.
Well, a lot of brewing culture was obviously exported from Germany. That's why all the music in Mexico sounds like German oompa-pa music. Accordions, you know.
I think that we have to do some more research on this question for Scott
get
back to him.
Scott.
This is a very broad question.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your store and what you do.
Well, American Beer is 62 years old. It's family run. About 10 years ago, we started bringing in small craft, which isn't small anymore, as Ray would know. We're like one of the old, one of the first guys around to bring craft to New York. We brought my first breweries were Dogfish Head, Victory, Blue Point. Those are the first three that we really embraced and brought to market. And what we're doing now, we have in our portfolio, we're the smallest distributor in New York. And we basically, we have Captain Lawrence, which is a big player in New York.
Captain Lawrence is great stuff.
So you're doing growlers.
We have at the shop, what American beer is it's not the norm. We do wholesale retail out of our shop. So you can come for single bottles, growlers, and we also do wholesale to bars like Ray and a lot of the Robertas.
Do you actually fill up growlers at your store?
Yeah, we have growler fills. We have 10 growler lines.
I didn't know that.
10 ton lines. We're very aggressively priced, which most of the bars aren't too happy with.
You cut out the middleman, don't you?
Yes, that's that was the key. The reason why I went to distribution is to, get some more points to American. It's just amazing where craft has come over the last 10 years and where it's going to be heading. I think there's going to be a lot of small craft breweries that are going to be popping up. So that should be a lot of fun going forward.
Yeah. I actually did a tasting at Jimmy's. He does these Tuesday tastings, and one of your sales reps was there, and I know he brought a few of the Leelanau beers, which were amazing, sour and so good. And
I
then
one of those today for you to
try. Good.
Let's crack it open.
Yeah, let's open it.
Let's get it. Yeah, we brought. Haven't got a beer, but I've got a little bit of this lovely Pikeland Hills.
Yes. It's been a real soggy day. After.
Yeah, it has. And then they had the Avery. I think it's called Depusalus. Is that right?
Yeah, I brought some of that too.
Okay, great. open it up.
That's one of the Avery's. One of theirs. They went on a sour series. And they've I think that's the one that's with the, is that the one with the Zinfandel?
Yeah, they aged it in red Zinfandel barrels.
Red Zinfandel barrels.
Yum.
This one was made with cherries, the Depusalus, which was turned out really nice.
Yeah, it's
I think
an
we
oak
got
age,
what 30
yeah.
cases allocated to us.
Crack them open, man.
Something like that. I brought a couple weird things today, actually. Too, this is a little brewery in Ohio that sells their beer in three places in Ohio that I know of.
Double Chocolate Stout.
Yeah, it's from the Mad Brewer. I've never even tried this one. I've been sitting on the bottle for a while. Uh-huh. I figured today was the day to open it up. I also brought a batch to Cuvée de Castleton from Captain Lawrence from about 2 years ago. And I've been saving that.
Yum,
I have one more bottle
good.
Left of that. And then I brought a couple beers from McNeil's. I brought his oatmeal stout.
What is that that you just poured for me?
That's the Avery. How do you pronounce that, Jay?
I think it's Depusalus.
Depusalus.
Let's find out what this is. It's a sour ale.
Okay, wild yeast.
It's
barrel-aged wild ale. Wow. And it's a 9.59% alcohol by volume.
It has a really long finish. You taste the oak and the vanilla. Brian, as a brewer, what do you think of it?
It's odd to have a beer this sour and that strong. Wouldn't you say, right?
There's not
too
many. Oh, my God,
yeah. Yeah. So it's got a nice nose from the oak and from some of the beer spoilers, lactobacillus and... So it makes it sour. And
do you do anything
really
like that? Any sours?
We've done a Berliner Weiss, but not a lot of oak aged beers. So
they just take too long, or
they take a while. We just moved our original brew pub across the street. As funny as that sounds, so we moved the brewery, and we have one tank there. We're going to dedicate to doing some sour beers with, but they'll be small batch stuff, but.
Cool.
So we played a little, and
I like this.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm not a big fan of these huge beers that often, but I think the sourness really balances out with the heat of the alcohol. You're not getting that, you know, almost 10% alcohol volume. It's well balanced, well made beer.
That's, I think, the indicator of strong beer. How good it is it's not here's all the flavor, and then there's all the booze in the finish.
But there's like a peachy flavor to it as well.
Yeah,
it's. I wonder if it's, you know, the original beer was kind of hoppy. I mean, I'm almost on the palate, or maybe it's the alcohol, but it's not a traditional sour beer flavor I'm getting there. But
the sourness really tempers everything else that's going on. It's a well-made beer.
To me, it almost tastes like cotton candy in the finish. It's like there's kind of this burnt sugar.
That would be from
taste.
From the barrel. That would be
yeah,
from the bourbon barrel.
Probably.
Absolutely.
It's good though. It's
because
good
they char the oak in the barrel, and it gives it that kind of caramel, toffee flavor.
So did you get this beer in, or?
Yeah, it came in, May. Yeah, we actually, as a small distributor, we actually are, we're sixth overall now for Avery across country, over 53 different distributors. So we were allocated they only made like 100 and some cases, so we allocated 24 for the state, and now they're going to be coming out with a Uber Pilsner Avery. That's going to be their next, new. It's actually not going to be seasonal. It's actually going to be all year round.
Oh, really?
And then the 17th anniversary, Jay, is
Black Lager.
Black Lager. Is it going to be a double?
I don't know. I looked at the label when we were doing registration.
That's
going to
be coming in
also.
So what's an Uber Pilsner? Is that's that like an Imperial Pilsner?
I gather, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's. I haven't seen. I haven't gotten to read anything about it, but that's a good question, Ray. I'm not 100% sure. Would you? Uber.
It's
I don't know.
Not
what
a
Uber
traditional
is.
Style. Yeah. Uber means over, kind of like you know, bigger pills. That's you know, so
Imperial.
Probably big, strong pills. Which you know, what's funny. I know Avery makes a lot of big beers, and I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago I went out to visit the brewery when I was out in Denver for the Great American Beer Festival, and I fell in love with their IPA, the Everyday IPA.
Yeah.
And I can't, sometimes I walk into a bar and they've got this beer, that beer, and I'm like, That IPA just really drinks nice.
I totally agree.
I just never spent time with it, and after leaving the brewery, I was like, that's what I'd pick on an average day, you know.
That's, you know, what's really cranking for Avery right now is that White Rascal. People are really, you know, people are, I think, in general, are digging white beers. I mean, look where Blue Moon has gone. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, it's white, but it's more like translucent white.
Right, I agree, right. I agree. But getting back to IPA, I don't think Avery, me and Jay always talk about IPAs in market right now. There's just, we're inundated with IPAs. And what Americans trying to do, American beer, is we're trying to get other styles into these bars instead of just IPAs. Let's see some amber ales. Let's see some different flavors than just IPAs.
Oh, I agree.
You know,
I don't always order an IPA. Just that beer was so darn tasty from those guys. And I.
But I've got a question for anybody that wants to field this, maybe for the audience, listening audience too. And this is something that's kind of been. It's been driving me crazy for all the years I've been doing this and all the years I've been homebrewing prior to being in the bar business. What is an amber beer? What is that style? It always confuses me when a beer is described by its color alone. I mean, an IPA is an IPA. Wheat beers, we know, is a descriptive aspect of it in the title. But amber, it's based on the color, but there's so many beers that are amber. I mean, amber beers could be lagers as well, right?
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
You don't know?
It's not really a style.
Oh, damn.
It's not really a style of beer. It's not a it doesn't hail from one area. And I mean, a style becomes a style when hundreds of breweries are brewing the same kind of beer. And,
right.
And we're kind of, you know, American craft breweries are kind of reaching deep for some of these styles.
Do you do an amber beer?
We have many beers that are amber. We don't describe any of them as an amber beer. Right. So I think it was probably not the best description, but some marketing guy said, let's call it amber. So we had one of our guys on our team that helped us with some design wanted us to call a beer brunette.
I think he's got
a lot of great ideas, but I just said, no, move on. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and he thought that would be the greatest thing. But
I think I would have sided with him on that one. It's a clever idea.
You call one brown, you call one blonde, you call one brunette. I don't know.
Rainbow hair. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. Beer Sessions Radio is brought to you by GreatBrewers.com and supported by the Good Beer Seal. So we're going to go into another email question. It's from Samantha from Hoboken. So Samantha writes, have any of you ever ordered beer online? Can they ship beer anywhere? Can I buy any beer I want? Will it be shipped properly, or are there restrictions that I don't know about? So, who wants to talk to Samantha?
Basically, the state of New York, that's not permitted to ship beer out of state over state lines or have beer or any alcohol shipped into the state from another state. But that is all done state by state now. I know
so the state of New York, so if you lived in California and you wanted to have a New York State beer, we cannot ship it to you.
Correct. Legally.
Legally.
Well, I mean, you could have a buddy go to the store and then sip it. I mean, ship it.
Well,
I
we would never smuggle beer out of New York.
Beer can be shipped state by state, but different states have different regulations.
Right.
And most of them are based on tax coming to the state on that alcohol. So it could be shipped through a wholesaler, someone that's licensed.
Right.
And registered.
Someone like Joe.
Someone like Joe could take it in and they could ship it to him. And I don't know, there's probably a tax here. There's tax on everything in New York, right?
So exactly. A lot.
But the U.S. Postal Service will not ship beer.
So it's got to go through a...
Officially. You know, there's a difference. And you, I think you have a story about officially declaring something versus...
I was telling you guys earlier, I ended up in Amsterdam, as folks tend to. I was in Amsterdam in Holland, and I had collected a bunch of beers from a trip through Belgium, ending up in Amsterdam, and had like maybe 10 or 12 bottles of beer and some currency. And I left my bag at my hotel, and a friend was staying there a little longer. I had to leave early. And I got back to New York City, and I called him up, and I gave him my FedEx number, and I asked him to FedEx my bag with the beer and some currency in it. And it was shipped to my bar on First Avenue, DBA, located at 41 First Avenue between 2nd and 3rd Street in the East Village of New York City. And I came there one morning, and there's a slip saying, pick up your delivery at the FedEx office, went to the FedEx office, and it turns out it was shipped back to Holland. Because my friend, who, you know, trusting everybody, didn't know the rules, listed on the packing slip what was in it. And he listed that there was money, because I had about $75 in Dutch currency, and I had about 10 or 12 bottles of beer in there. And he wrote it clearly on the packing slip. It got to America. I wasn't there to pick it up at the bar. Went back to the office. They looked at the packing slip and sent it back to Holland. And I got billed for the round trip, almost $800. It was insane.
Did they ship it to, I wonder? Who received that when they got back to Holland?
The office, the FedEx office in Holland.
I wonder what they did with it.
They're drinking it.
I ended up getting it. It took months. I ended up getting it. A friend of mine went back to Holland because my friend stayed there, the one that shipped it over. He met some girl, blah, 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 and he went back to visit her. And when he went back, he actually got the bag and carried it home for me. And so I got the stuff back, and it was Belgian beer, so it was really strong, so it was fine. Nothing leaked. Yeah. It was great. But it was crazy that they charged me for a round trip. I guess the quick answer is, no, you can't get beer from wherever you want it.
Well, the other thing is I know that I've looked for beer online, and one place that I've found beer is eBay. And it actually, if you buy it on eBay, there's a disclaimer that says you're buying the bottle. You know, it's a coincidence if there's anything inside of it.
I love that.
But you can find beers on eBay, but the price will go up and up and up. I know you were talking about Captain Lawrence, and recently they had a release of the Rosso Marrone. And, of course, I waited in line for 3 hours to get one and didn't get one. So immediately I went to eBay and I saw one, and it went up to maybe $75 when they were going for $15 there. So
wow.
Hey, Scott, can you expensive. Deliver me a case to the shop, please?
It'll sell fast.
This bottle's a couple years old, and I know we got 3 cases for New York City.
What's this now?
Oh. No, it's Cuvée de Castleton. It's 2 years old, I think, now. This is one he took his first gold medal for at GABF, and I have 2 bottles I've been saving all
is
the time.
Is it also a sour?
Yeah.
Oh, let's crack that. Can't wait.
Yeah, I think we should. I think we should.
That sounds good. Brandy.
I think the other thing to follow up on the question, though, is if it were to be sent to somebody like us, we couldn't sell if it's not registered in the state of New York. That carries a $10,000 fine, I think, if we're selling beer that's not registered in the state.
Who would ever sell beer that's not registered?
I do not know who would want to do that.
And the other thing is that Brian and I were talking before the show about there's also websites where you can trade beer. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Well, again, you're not allowed to ship it. But, you know, as Ray found out... And I think it's one of those things where it's way better to beg forgiveness if something happens than ask permission. But say you had a friend out west and they had some small breweries that they really enjoyed and could go to the brewery or buy it locally, and they could ship you a package, and, you know, maybe it would have flowers in it, some other stuff, and some peanut butter and maybe a couple bottles of beer, and then you could take someone like Captain Lawrence, who's local, doesn't ship that far, and nice, beautiful, wonderful beers, and ship those out as a thank you. And you're not really making a business out of it, but you're just kind of trading some local flavor. And I think that that might be something that no one would notice.
Yeah,
is the way I'd say it. But I do think ultimately, you know, there are some exceptions, but most beer is better drunk fresh, and buying it on eBay is probably not the best use of your money, or, you know.
Well, didn't they change some of the laws, though? I mean, I know a lot of the boutique wineries, thank you, Joe, are shipping wines, like small, you know, a lot of them don't even sell it that much in state. They ship it out. Those laws have to apply to beer as well.
I don't know every state's laws, but they right. definitely don't apply.
They don't.
There are times when the beer laws and the wine laws are absolutely different. For example, in Pennsylvania, a winery can do a tasting, and they have to get a permit for a tasting. And the winery can actually sell bottles, take credit cards, and sell you a case as you're tasting. A brewery can't do that. We can't sell at an off-premise tasting. So there are definitely different
That's
laws.
That's bizarre.
It is bizarre. I think the vintners have it pretty good. I like the lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, when they've got a big, busy time and a downtime, and I think they're pretty good at lobbying because they've got some really cool right. stuff going on. But
well, I think it's the stigma of beer. I think people don't.
It's don't not worth as
respect
much either,
beer as much as it should be. It's not worth as much.
Well, I mean, in one sense, a bottle of beer, an average beer,
uh-huh.
isn't always worth shipping a single bottle.
I see
of
what
beer.
You're saying. Right.
So there are some exceptions. And then there's some exploded value of beer just because right. you can't get it.
Market right. value.
Yeah.
The free market.
But like even for the brewery, if we could legally sell a six-pack, it wouldn't be worth the shipping and the freight and the
right.
and the time, you know?
So what are we drinking again? What's it called? How long have you been saving this?
Yeah, a couple years.
Yeah. What do you think of it?
It's the Cuvée de Castleton.
Okay.
It's got a nice nutty note in there today.
It's good.
I haven't had this for...
This is Captain Lawrence?
Yeah.
Captain Lawrence. Great brewer.
Mm. I actually just attended his 4-year anniversary party on Saturday. It was a beautiful day. It was actually the largest attendance I've ever been up there for, but it just kind of goes to show you, you know, it's not heavily marketed, but word of mouth really has spread about the quality of product that he's been making all these years, and seeing the turn. I've gone all the years for his anniversary parties, and it just gets exponentially bigger every year. So,
is this a wheat beer?
Man,
I think it's his. It's gold. I think it's his gold.
There's grapes in it, I believe. Yeah. I don't know what the
green grape kind of character from it for sure.
Definitely, yeah.
I think it's his golden ale.
It says golden ale fermented with grapes and spices aged in oak barrels.
Wow.
I think it's his gold that's the base on it.
Mm.
And then he throws it into apple brandy barrels.
Apple brandy. Okay, that explains something.
Yeah. And he had a really fight to get those apple brandy barrels, by the way.
Oh,
and
really?
Now he's finally took him like 3 years, and now the guy's willing to consistently give him these apple brandy barrels to do this.
It definitely has that citrus sourness to it, in a good way. But it's got a second flavor in there. And this is going to sound awful, but it works for me. It's like dirty towels. Like if you leave a towel, like a moist towel in the bathroom for too long and you pick it up, you smell it, it's like, it's a bad note, you think, but it works with the other things that are going on in this.
See, I think Prima Pill smells like my dirty socks, and it still tastes good.
All right, well, it's almost time to go, so I just want to tell Scott that we're going to update our Facebook page and answer your question, and... you know, call us. We will answer your questions on air if we can. If not, we'll put it on Facebook. So I just want to mention also some events that are coming up. This is going to be the last week that Beer Sessions will have such a short Good Beer Seal event list. Next week, we'll be inducting over 10 new bars into the ranks. So check out the growing list at goodbeerseal.com. So tonight, May 18th at the Pony Bar, it's a Smutty Nose event with the brewer David Yarrington. Tonight at Jimmy's, number 43, it's a $10 beer tasting on, it's Tuesday, yeah.
It is Tuesday.
It is, yes. Thanks, Ray. It's going to be led by Mike Lavulo, who's been on this show, who's a sales rep at Union Beer. So he is going to be leading a tasting of Six Box. And then on Wednesday, May 19th at Blind Tiger Ale House. You can taste the full spectrum of McKellar brews all night long. And I know they do a single hop thing also, which is good.
They copied us.
Yeah. And let's see, this week is American Craft Beer Week at Jimmy's, and they're participating on Thursday, May 20th. Enjoy American craft beer and oysters featuring Greenport Brewing's Duck Harbor Porter. So I haven't had that. Go check it out. And this weekend at the Pony Bar, don't miss the main event featuring breweries from Maine. And of course, Monday, Liquids of Interest at DBA.
Yes, this weekend, this coming Monday, we'll be having a wheat beer tasting. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So go to goodbeerseal.com for events, our events calendar, and links to your favorite Good Beer Seal bars. So thank you to all our guests.
I just want to say one thing. After this session, if you want to step over to DBA Brooklyn, we're going to be having Brian and Corey from Sly Fox, and we have four of their beers and a cask up, and love to have you join us.
Sounds good. What beers are we going to be drinking there, Brian?
We've got O'Reilly Stout, Irish Style Draft Stout, poured on nitro. Pikeland Pils, German style Pilsner. We also have Saison Voss, a Belgian style farmhouse beer. Our 113 IPA, which we just started putting in cans. And we also have the Chester County Bitter, a British style bitter on the hand pump, which was tasting just
really good. Yeah.
So I'm going to drink my share of that tonight. So. If you don't get there early enough, that cask might not last.
We also have something going on tomorrow night at the Double Windsor in Prospect Park. We're doing an Avery event, and two of the special things is going to be pouring is the Mephistopheles Stout on draft, which is like 14% or whatever. It's insane. And also the last year's the 15th anniversary beer. It's 2 year old beer that they sent us a couple extra kegs out of the cellar in Avery. So that'll be pretty intense.
Cool.
It's a busy week in beer.
It is. Thank you everyone for being here, and I want to thank our sponsor, the greatbrewers.com, and our friends at the Good Beer Seal. Find Beer Sessions on Facebook, talk about tonight's episode, tell Jimmy what a good host I was.
You did a great job.
Thank you, Jimmy. And Beer Sessions is carried on the Heritage Radio Network, and our executive producers, Jimmy Carbone, producers Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor, engineer Nat Wiener. Thanks. We'll be back next week with Beer Sessions Radio. Bye. It makes me feel mellow.